Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, July 11th. United States Representative Scott Tipton is leading a bipartisan task force that has introduced two new bills in the fight against opioid addiction. According to the Montrose Daily Press, Tipton's legislation aims to help one of the most vulnerable populations, babies who are going through withdrawal at birth due to being exposed to opioids in utero. The task force has introduced a bill to help such newborns, called the Caring Recovery for Infants and Babies Act, or CRIB. The new bill would allow residential pediatric care centers to receive reimbursement through Medicaid to treat afflicted babies. The CRIB Act is one of the measures being introduced by the legislative task force for this session. Another bill Tipton and his colleagues are supporting is the Stem the Tide of Overdose Prevalence from Opiate Drugs Act, or Stop OD. That act would allow the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to award grants to bolster educational efforts about opioid abuse, promote treatment of addicts, and further the understanding of opioid addiction. In 2016, there were 4 recorded opioid or heroin overdose deaths in Montrose County. 2 years ago, Tipton identified the 2 hottest spots for opioid addiction in the state as Pueblo and Delta County. 9 wildfires burned around western Colorado on more than 15,680 acres over the weekend. According to the Denver Post, the fires were driven by high temperatures, dry wood, and wind. The largest blaze was the Peekaboo Fire west of Craig, now at 12,675 acres in size. Lightning strikes set off the Peekaboo Fire, as well as the 205-acre Wilson Fire, 9 miles north of Meeker. Meanwhile, according to a press release, the Gutzler Fire in Eagle County was measured at 974 acres. 108 firefighters battled the blaze outside of Kremlin and were greatly helped by yesterday's cooler temperatures and scattered rain showers. In last Thursday's regional newscast, we heard from Benta Berkland and Capital Coverage about marijuana tax money in Colorado. There are many misconceptions about what marijuana tax revenue can and can't be used to pay for in the state. In a follow-up report, Rocky Mountain Community Radio Exchange member KUNC in Greeley takes another look at Colorado's marijuana tax revenue. According to Amendment 64, much of the revenue is going toward fixing old schools in the state. But the perception that marijuana taxes will fill all the budget gaps in education is a myth. Jackie Fortier filed this story.
Nevada is now the 8th state to sell recreational marijuana, and it won't be the last. California will start selling the drug in January. So how will the increased competition cut into Colorado's pot tax revenue?
Contrary to what you hear every Sunday morning, there isn't enough sin in the world to run the government.
That's Henry Sobenet, director of the Office of State Planning and Budgeting. He's forecasting that Colorado's marijuana tax revenue will be around $300 million next year. That may sound like a lot, but...
You know, in the general fund, our budget is approaching $11 billion. You know, it's not an insignificant sum of money, but we're certainly not going to be able to fix roads or fix per-pupil funding in schools with $300 million. Nor did the voters want us to. They wanted it to go to school construction. We've been trying to use the rest of the money for the impacts of the legalized program.
One of the selling points of Amendment 64, which made marijuana legal in Colorado, was that the first $40 million collected from a special 15% tax goes to competitive grants for school construction and improvements. It's called the Building Excellent Schools Today, or BEST program. Anything above that $40 million spills over into the public school fund. That means that even school districts in areas that don't have local marijuana dispensaries are benefiting from pot tax dollars. Schools like Hudson Elementary, east of Fort Lupton, they received a $4.2 million BEST grant, which prioritizes health and safety, because the 1960s-era school is in dire need of repairs. Greg Dent is the principal.
The ceiling tiles are asbestos, the cinder blocks are asbestos, floor tile are asbestos, the glue that holds the carpet down is asbestos, so it's quite prevalent.
In the grand scheme of the state budget, $40 million for BEST grants isn't a lot of money. But to schools like Hudson, it makes a big difference. And as long as none of Colorado's neighboring states legalize marijuana, those tax dollars should continue to roll in.
Proximity matters. Where an individual is considering getting his or her marijuana matters. And right now, Colorado remains this marijuana oasis in the West.
John Hudak is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. He says marijuana is essentially a brick-and-mortar industry. Because it's still illegal federally, there is no interstate commerce. You can't mail it, so no online competition. But there is a catch. As more people sell marijuana in Colorado, the price and therefore the tax revenue will continue to drop.
You'll have pretty steep fall off initially, and then that price curve, an economist would call it, will smooth. But ultimately, you're going to see this industry continue to grow at some more earthly steady rate and not the sort of stratospheric growth rates that we've seen in the past. This revenue from something that some people think is a bad thing, some people think is a good thing, some people are indifferent to, is actually doing a lot of good around Colorado for a lot of different issue areas.
Back at Hudson Elementary School, Superintendent Greg Rabenhorst says that the perception that marijuana taxes will pay for all the district's needs can be detrimental. It took the district two separate attempts to get the community to pass a mill levy to better fund their schools.
There's a myth that marijuana taxes should be paying for a great deal of education funding, and it just isn't. It goes towards this BEST program, and that's essentially for the last, since it's been put in place, the tax, that is what it has gone to, and it's gone. It's competitive, first of all, so it puts district against district in a competitive process, and it's a limited pool.
BEST grants are not a blank check. Local tax dollars are paying the majority of the tab to renovate Hudson Elementary. The grants aren't even fully funded by marijuana taxes, and they make up less than 1% of the Colorado Department of Education's annual budget.
It's not a drop in the bucket when you talk about the cost of education overall. So that myth needs to be dispelled, or maybe more money from marijuana tax needs to go into education.
That's sort of coming true. The state legislature passed a law this year that says any pot tax money transferred to the state public school fund will be distributed to all districts and charter schools. Last year, that was about $2.5 million. A nice supplement, but everyone agrees pot taxes won't fix Colorado's education funding problems. For KUNC, I'm Jackie Fortier.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.